Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
We have attack cats. They might just lash out at them. The delivery person might be just should be as afraid as we are about the whole thing.
Funny thing is, I hadn't spoke to Dick Vitale 2 years ago. I ran into him.
Yeah,
he came up and apologized.
Oh, really?
That was crazy.
Are you kidding me?
He came up. He's like, "Sorry, I got you wrong." I'm like, "You remember that? That was 13 years ago."
But here in Loveland, in particular, because our last podcast I started off talking about is the council even insignificant? And part of that insignificance is that they're kind of letting other people determine, letting their cronies, so to say, determine what goes on in our city.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. In this day and age, it's easier than ever to stay informed on current events, politics, and world news, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily more fun. So if you like to stay in the know but are looking to have a fun time while doing it, look no further than this week's featured podcast, I Tell My Husband the News. This lighthearted USA Today podcast features Shannon Green. She's a USA Today journalist, and her comedian husband, Dusty Terrell. Each week, Shannon fills Dusty in on the news stories he likely missed that week with hilarious results. You'll come for the news, but stay for the husband and wife back and forth that makes I Tell My Husband the News so fun to listen to. In a world where bad news sells, brighten things up with the most easygoing news show out there. We'll give you a taste right here of I Tell My Husband the News with this clip from an episode called What If They're Really Just Slow Knockers? The episode covers a range of tech, politics, and cultural news, all of which is really news to Dusty. In this clip, the couple talks about the Amazon Key feature, which allows Amazon delivery drivers to place packages safely inside your home rather than leaving it unprotected on your doorstep.
New Amazon Key lets the delivery driver leave packages inside the front door.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't think our neighborhood is rough enough for me to be worried about the packages just being on the doorstep. Don't really want some stranger to have access to my home.
Yeah. But it's interesting. Like, they really have a lot of security built into it in an interesting way. So,
well, why don't you tell me about
it? I will tell you the news right now. This was written by my colleague Elizabeth Weiss. She writes, "No more getting packages stolen. No more worries about being there to receive them. Starting next month, people in 37 U.S. cities can have Amazon drop their package inside their front door without ever giving anyone a key. On November 8th, Amazon will begin offering a secure lock service called Amazon Key that will give Amazon Logistics delivery personnel permission to unlock a customer's door for 5 minutes. Using the Cloud Cam, a new Amazon device shoppers first buy, the entire delivery will be live streamed to the customer and also sent as a video snippet. The service is an effort to thwart one of the problems of Amazon's popular package delivery service, theft, and make it easier for customers to arrange deliveries. The company has been testing Amazon Key for several months at various sites around the country and thinks it's going to be a game changer." Peter Larson, Amazon's vice president for delivery technology, said, "This is not a trial. This is the fundamental way we think customers are going to order and receive their goods. And it shows Amazon further building out its own delivery network, a move that could siphon off business from UPS, FedEx, and USPS, potentially prompting them to raise rates." So here's how it works. The company demonstrated the service to reporters at a rental house in San Francisco last Tuesday. The customer first buys a smart lock and the Cloud Cam camera from Amazon for a starting price of $249.
Whoa. That's a lot. Just to be able to have this convenience?
The Cloud Cam is also available for purchase as a standalone security camera for $119.99. Both became available for purchase beginning last Wednesday and can be installed by the customer or for free by a professional Amazon technician. The camera is set up to show the front door from inside the house, allowing the customer to watch on the Amazon Key app to see whoever opens it. Once signed up for the free program, when customers go to purchase something on Amazon, they will see all items available for key delivery marked with the designation in-home delivery. The day the ordered item is set to arrive, a customer gets a note on her phone saying an in-home delivery will come that day and a time window during which to expect it. When the delivery person arrives, the app sends the customer another note saying the delivery person is at the door. Using a list that appears on the app, the delivery person is first instructed to knock on the door or ring the doorbell. If no one answers, the delivery person swipes a button in the app that sends a message up to the cloud, which sends a message down to the customer's Amazon-enabled smart lock. This allows the delivery person to swipe a button on the app that unlocks the door. Larson said, "Note that the delivery person never touches the lock and doesn't have a key or a code. The delivery person opens the door just a crack, puts the package inside the door, and then closes the door," he said. The worker then swipes another button on the app that automatically locks the smart lock. He must confirm that the door is closed and locked before leaving. After 5 minutes, the door automatically locks itself, even if the delivery person hasn't locked it. If there is any problem with the lock or the service, the app instructs him to stay at the doorway and call Amazon customer service to ensure that the door is closed and locked before leaving, said Larson.
What happens if they just are real slow knockers? Like they just knock real slow. 5 minutes go past. Door's locked. Can't do it.
Especially because it's a one-time thing. Yeah. I think if there's any issues, they could always call Amazon customer support.
Also, who's going to... We have attack cats. They might just lash out at them. I mean, the delivery person might be just... should be as afraid as we are about the whole thing.
A sample from the podcast, I Tell My Husband the News from USA Today. Have a little fun when you get your news with the help of Shannon and Dusty right now on WVXU's Podcast Central. This week's new addition to the Podcast Central collection comes to you from podcasting giant Gimlet Media, and it's called Without Fail. Hosted by Gimlet co-founder Alex Bloomberg, Without Fail is a new Gimlet show that asks people who have pursued incredible things what worked, what didn't, and why. Any big success requires coming to terms with potential failures. That's why each week Alex talks with people who have risked everything to do something never done before. People who have it all and people who have had it all, then lost it all. With guests like Andrew Mason of Groupon, Crazy Rich Asians producer Nina Jacobson, and more, Alex and his guests have many success stories and lessons from failure to tell. And you can learn from them, too. In this episode of Without Fail, featuring NBA star and Golden State Warrior Andre Iguodala, Andre joins the show to discuss what it's like being on a dominant team with adoring fans and what it's like being on the opposite end, too.
In 2004, after a breakout season at the University of Arizona, he entered the NBA draft.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NBA draft at the theater at Madison Square Garden in New York City, home of the Knicks and the WNBA's Liberty.
He was 20 years old, and the way the draft works for non-sports fans, it's just like on the playground when you're picking teams for dodgeball. Each NBA team takes a turn, and the person who gets picked first, that's the best player. You want to go as close to number one as possible, ideally in the top 10. Unlike playground dodgeball, though, not everyone who wants to play gets picked. Each year, many, many players looking to go to the NBA, they go undrafted. Andre, though, he was projected to go pretty high.
I was projected like anywhere from 3 to 6.
So everybody's telling you you're going
to
go high.
Right. So we get to 7. I haven't got picked yet. So I'm like, man, you know, someone sets expectations for you and then you don't know what to expect. And was like, are you a bust? You know what I'm saying? I had crazy thoughts. Like, am I not going to get picked?
Really?
Right. You know, so Toronto comes at 8. The camera's on me. And that's how you know you're getting drafted. The cameras come on you. And I'm like, Toronto? I didn't work out for Toronto. Uh-huh. And it's all that stigma on being in Canada. So I'm like nervous, like, no way. But Rafael Arujo was behind me. No one knows that name. But he was behind me and he's the one that got picked. So So then I get picked.
With the 9th pick in the 2004 NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Andre Iguodala from the University of Arizona.
And then I don't know how to feel. It's like, did I go too late? You know, what type of questions am I going to get? When you get picked, you go on stage, shake hands, and you see the draftees start talking to interviewers and reporters right there, and it's live.
Yeah.
There's a live feed right there, too. So you can hear yourself. So as soon as I get done, I do a little interview, I hear Dick Vitale.
Legendary announcer Dick Vitale.
He pops up. He goes crazy. I can't believe the Sixers picked him. This guy's a bust.
What?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right. So Dick Vitale went crazy. He broke down my stats. I only shot 19% from three. Just athletic, no basketball game.
About Iguodala. Couldn't dominate on a collegiate level. I love his athleticism, but he averaged 12 points a game in a fast-paced game with Arizona. Shows you the thinness of this draft when a guy's a lottery selection and he can't dominate in college.
Funny thing is, I hadn't spoke to Dick Vitale 2 years ago. I ran into him. And I know he doesn't remember.
Yeah.
He came up and apologized.
Oh, really?
That was crazy.
Are you kidding me?
He came up. He's like, sorry, I got you wrong. I'm like, you remember that? That was 13 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought I was the only one who remembered it.
Yeah.
But I didn't bring it up to him. He just approached me, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
It was cool when the apology came. But back on draft night, 2004, it was really confusing for Andre. And something of a harbinger for what was to come on his new team, the Philadelphia 76ers. See, the Sixers, they've been coming off a pretty good run, consistently going into the playoffs and even making the finals, behind their beloved superstar, Allen Iverson. But Iverson, everyone could tell, was nearing the end of his career, and all eyes were on the 76ers' new draft pick, Andre Iguodala, to be the new superstar of the team. And Philly, it's a tough place to play. It's a huge sports town. They're passionate about their teams. And in 2006, 2 years into Andre's tenure in Philly, Allen Iverson was traded. And the press, they zeroed in on Andre, demanding that he fill Iverson's shoes and letting him know every time he didn't. A typical headline, is Iguodala overrated? Or reliance on Iguodala defies logic. Headlines called him a little dipper and a second fiddle.
I could hide behind Allen Iverson my first 2 years, and I was a big kid. Like, I liked to joke around and have fun. They was like, you don't play too much. I've been hearing that my whole life. You know, just joking around. Like, I like to have fun, joke around.
Uh-huh.
But when he left, it was like, you know, the main guy takes all the blame.
Uh-huh.
He gets a D, Andre Iguodala. I'm telling you, he is not making no big plays. He disappeared.
The Sixers are promoting him as, this is our star player. This is the guy that's going to take us to the promised land. He's not that guy.
And why does he think he's Kobe Bryant when he's not Kobe Bryant?
Overrated. I mean, I like Iggy, but he's not a number one option. He can't manufacture his own shot. So, to me, he doesn't shoot well.
Like, I was fighting against him every night. It was like...
Them being the media or the fans? Or
it was more so the media.
Uh-huh.
You know, you kind of like, you're trying to prove him wrong. And it's like, wait, why am I trying to prove you wrong? I'm supposed to prove the other team wrong. So every night, I was going against them and I was going against the other team.
A snippet from the podcast Without Fail from Gimlet Media. Learn more about some of the most successful people in their fields, about successes, shortcomings, and everything in between on Without Fail, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Last up, this week's local feature. This time, we're focusing in the city of Loveland, the home of a great podcast that Lovelanders are lucky to have. From the organization Eye on Loveland comes the Eye on Loveland podcast, a podcast dedicated to the people of Loveland, Ohio. Much like the organization itself, the Eye on Loveland podcast promotes transparency and accountability among government officials, elected representatives, and other organizations that serve the community. Episodes also advocate on behalf of the community for improvements in technology, ideas, and perspectives, and governance in order to make Loveland the best place it can possibly be for its residents. Loveland residents can tune in to hear recent events in their community, government updates, and more as the people of Eye on Loveland keep watch. Here's a clip from a recent episode of Eye on Loveland titled Cronyism Part 1, Shining a Light. In the episode, Eye on Loveland President Pam Gross and host Artie Kulik discuss cronyism, hiring bias, and the spoils system in local government, which Pam says is a clear problem in many cities,
including Loveland.
But here in Loveland in particular, because our last podcast I started off talking about is the council even insignificant? And part of that insignificance is that they're kind of letting other people determine, letting their cronies, so to say, determine what goes on in our city. Let's start with there. Just real, the most basic stuff, the thing that the average person is going to grasp onto. I think the term you used when we were talking beforehand, prepping for this, is just the surface. Talk about political supporters here, because that's a really, really simple one. A lot of times you'll get political supporters who will get in positions at the top levels of government. You'll see a lot of people will become ambassadors. 9 out of 10 times, these are competent people. These are people that know what they're talking about. And I've always argued that, hey, I like it when government officials put competent people in positions. But what happens when somebody is just literally being put in a position just because they were a supporter? Let's say we had people knocking on doors and working their tails off in order to get somebody elected, and they're not an attorney, they don't have any background or anything like that when it comes to the actual governance, but somehow they get put on the Law and Ordinance Committee.
That one's a good example.
We would call that cronyism.
That is cronyism, yes.
I mean, it's very, very basic, very simple, that you want experts in these positions, but just because you support someone politically and then you get put into a position where you're not an expert, do we believe that is happening here in our local community?
I do. I do want to go back to something that you said there. Obviously, as you win an elected office, you are going to look at the people who are most likely your friends. But as you said, there is a difference between appointing someone just because they supported you and are not qualified to be there, or put on a committee that they don't really have the expertise for that committee. And then there's the difference between having someone that is an expert in that field, and even though they're your friends, that is not necessarily, I don't look at that as cronyism. Cronyism to me is when you have people who are not qualified or do not have the backgrounds or the expertise to be on particular kinds of committees. I think that you can actually look at, you named Law and Ordinance as one. You can also look at someone on a historic committee, because the historic committee should have people who are developers and architects and those kind of people. So if you review that committee, or do we have those kind of people on there? I don't know, because unfortunately I don't have a lot of background on the people who were appointed, only because there's not been a lot of transparency there. Just because you are friends with someone doesn't make them not qualified and shouldn't be appointed to a committee. And just because you do does not necessarily mean that that is cronyism. Cronyism to me is when you put unqualified people or people who do not have the expertise for that particular committee. I also will say cronyism can also be when you have the same people on multiple committees, because I think that's wrong as well. You're talking about that person needs to be appointed to the committee that best fits their expertise. And by appointing them on multiple committees, you're taking away the fact that you could appoint someone who is actually probably better qualified for that committee.
A sample on the local podcast, Eye on Loveland, from the Eye on Loveland organization. Lovelanders can get the real scoop on all the important goings-on in their community with the Eye on Loveland podcast, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. It's that time, our Start Here Stop Off at the Apple Podcast Charts, to see what's new and hot across the country in podcast land via iTunesCharts.net. Well, in the recent set of number one podcasts are some old favorites like Oprah's Super Soul Conversations, Dirty John, and The Daily. Still, one newly launched podcast made it this week to number one. It's called Cold. Susan Powell vanished on December 7th, 2009. Her body was never found. From the beginning, West Valley City, Utah police suspected Susan's husband, Josh, had murdered her. They never arrested him. Cold dives deep into the case files, uncovering never-before-heard details, and you'll learn why Susan stayed with an abusive husband, why Josh did what he did, and how the justice system failed Susan and her two boys. The podcast, Cold, a recent number one on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources. NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.